Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you as we finish our study of the book of Amos with this message appropriately titled, The Final Chapter, as we cover Amos chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. But the title of The Final Chapter has another application, as we will see that our text summarizes the history of Israel right to the time of the kingdom of Christ in the millennium, and the final chapter for Israel that has an eternal future with her Messiah King. The conclusion of this two-part study, along with all the other studies in Amos and many other free materials, including more than 3,000 Bible studies on audio and video, as well as our contact and donation information, can all be found at our website, bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update, followed by our study in Amos chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, titled, The Final Chapter. This is part 1 of 2.
The current events update. Number 1, King Charles III. What kind of king will Charles III be? King Charles helped organize the original Great Reset meeting with World Economic Forum. So that tells you exactly what you need to know about Prince Charles, who is now King Charles III. He's given the strongest possible endorsement to radical Great Reset policies in giving a speech to mark the launch of the project. Queen Elizabeth's second son, if you didn't know that, Charles, has ascended the British throne in the wake of her death on Thursday, co-hosted the original meeting for the Great Reset, a totalitarian initiative of the World Economic Forum with WEF Chairman Klaus Schwab. He's a real pervert. In a video released to march the launch of the Great Reset, then Prince Charles warned that the Great Reset plan, which includes green policies, which is another word for Marxism, that would suffocate businesses and individual freedoms worldwide, is a matter of urgency. I will repeat, it's the only movie or documentary that I know of that was made, or at least executive produced by Michael Moore, that I have ever, will ever recommend. Planet of the Humans. If you haven't seen it, you should see it.
Unless we take the action necessary and we build again in a greener and more sustainable and more inclusive way, then we will end up having more and more pandemics and more disasters from ever accelerating global warming and climate change. So this is the one moment, as you've all been saying, when we have to make as much progress as we can, and we build again in a greener and more sustainable and more inclusive way. In a greener and more sustainable and more inclusive way.
Those are buzzwords for Marxists and globalists. Globalist Marxist is the right term for it. He's just one of many billionaire members of the globalist cabal. They're all unwittingly coming together in time for the Antichrist. They all are godless people. They reject Jesus Christ. They are most all of them. I don't think there's an exception, but the exception would just prove the rule. They're all Darwinians, evolutionists. And so they have a reprobate mind, most of them. When you get to know them, even just find out things about their personal lives, they're very sexually perverted. And involved in, some of them are involved in sex trafficking, and some of them are involved in pedophilia and child sex trafficking. And those are the people who think that they are our overlords and that they should be able to tell the rest of us how to live. This cabal reject Jesus Christ and have the spirit of Antichrist, according to 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what God's Word says, not what it sounds like it's saying. It says that they confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. It doesn't say Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And that's how most people will quote that. Even people who believe or say the King James Bible believers, they'll quote that and they'll say, if you confess that Jesus Christ, if you do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's not what it says. Why? Because Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Not only did He come as a baby, He rose from the dead in the flesh. It is a bodily resurrection. The New Agers and the cults, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, etc., all believe in a resurrection that does not include flesh. They have a resurrected Jesus that is a spirit or a ghost. And that's one of the reasons they're considered a cult. The verse goes on to say, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. It's been here all along, and it's going to stay here, and it is the spirit of Antichrist. There are some who, and I can't disagree with them, because I believe the final pope will be the Antichrist. Amen. Which means, I believe, just like every pope, they confess to believe in Jesus. But how many of those popes really believed in Jesus? How many of them really believed that He rose from the dead bodily? And how many of them, I don't believe any of them that I'm aware of that I ever saw, were trusting in His death for their salvation? Everybody says, what about John Paul? He was a really good guy. John Paul said in his dying words that he was entrusting his soul to Mary, Queen of Heaven. That's what it means to be a good Roman Catholic. Now, I believe there are some saved Roman Catholics, but if they're a good Roman Catholic, they're not saved. You can't be a good Roman Catholic to be saved. Because if you believe that you are saved by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection, the Roman Catholic Church declares you anathema, a heretic, doomed to hell. Yeah. Now, how many of your preachers on TV and radio are going to tell you that? That tells you where we're at today. It's all part of the end time stage prep. When I got saved, one of the things that when I started studying Bible prophecy, it reminded me I was in a school class play. And we spent a lot of time setting the stage. And you had to make sure things were in the right place and they didn't get moved or it could cause terrible problems. We were watching a show the other day with Dick Van Dyke, and Betty White played his sister, and she came for a visit, and he goes away and then comes back at night, and the lights are off, and when he comes in his own house, he's tripping over the couch and knocking a lamp off the table because she decided to move the furniture. And you can't do that to somebody. If they come in their house and they know where everything's at, if it's dark, they're able to go through the house because they know where everything's at. If you move everything on them, what do? They trip and they do what? Fall. That's what's happening in Christianity today. Used to be able to go to church and hear the same basic message. When it comes to you go to any fundamental evangelical church, they preach the second coming of Jesus Christ. They preach the gospel that we have up on the wall in 1 Corinthians 15 through to 4. But somebody in the night has moved the furniture.
Yep.
And people are tripping and falling all around us.
Yep.
Number two. Britney Spears, professing to no longer believe in God. Is that a sign of end time apostasy? Don't say anything yet. You got to, I always tell you, Proverbs 18:13 says you got to hear a matter before you can answer it. And so I might surprise you with what I'm about to tell you. Britney Spears says she no longer believes in God. The news of Spears' turn from Christianity came on Monday when an audio recording of her discussing issues she has with her family was posted on Instagram and later posted to YouTube. As reported by the Christian Post, the Toxic Singer, that's one of her songs or something, I guess, cited issues with her family as the primary reason why she no longer believes in God. Quote, God would not have allowed that to happen to me if God existed. I don't believe in God anymore because of the way my children and my family have treated me, end quote. She said toward the end of the profanity-laced recording. Quote, there is nothing to believe in anymore. I am an atheist, y'all, end quote. She concluded. So what is the sign that we are in the end times? Don't answer yet. It's the fact that so many Christians believe that she ever was a Christian. But there are Christians saying that Brittany's apostasy, which isn't really apostasy, she didn't apostatize from biblical Christianity. She never has been, never was a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, which I hate to tell some folks, that means you're not a Christian. You either believe the Bible, believe the gospel, or born again, or you're not a Christian. So Brittany needs to understand that she's never been a Christian, and she needs to repent and believe the gospel and become a Christian. But what's important as far as current events update is concerned is the fact that there are so many Christians who think that she was a Christian at one time. And it's the same thing, Queen Elizabeth, that we talked about Sunday. It demonstrates that most Christians are about an inch or centimeter deep and a mile wide. They have no discernment. And they just say, anybody who goes, I remember Sylvester Stallone did an interview where he talked about God and said something about Jesus, and suddenly Sylvester Stallone's a Christian. Everybody's posting on the social media, oh, I wonder what it is to know that he's a Christian. I read it, so I asked him, I read the article, but where did you see that he's a Christian? Well, he talked about Jesus. How does that make you a Christian? You know, there are Christians who go around saying they think someone like Elvis Presley saved because he sang gospel music. That does not make you a Christian. Now, I loved Elvis when I was a little kid, man. I got pictures of me holding the belt and doing the Hound Dog song. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. I mean, I used to sing that as a little kid. I didn't even know what it meant. I just sang it on. Elvis, I'd see him on TV and stuff. I just thought Elvis was great. I think I was about 8 years old when he died. Later on, I read about the reality of Elvis. And you can talk to the Memphis mob and the other people that knew him. He thought he was Christ. He believed in the New Age concept of Christ consciousness, and that he had the reason why so many millions worshipped him was because he had that Christ spirit in him. He would get up and preach when they would have parties and things. He would stand up on tables with a Bible and preach, and he would totally deny biblical Christianity and preach what we call the Aquarian gospel of the New Age movement. He died, according to reports, sitting on the toilet reading a book by a New Age false teacher about his religious beliefs. But because he sang gospel, people put Elvis into heaven. Now, I'll say the same thing about Elvis I say about Queen Elizabeth and everybody else. I hope he's in heaven. I don't want Elvis in hell. I'm not saying he's in hell. I'm saying stop saying that people are Christians when they haven't even professed to believe the gospel. How amazing that that has to even be said. But if you just watch your friends and family on social media, they will constantly do that. So, that's what happens. When you preach a gospel of no repentance, which is what most churches today preach, you get what you see today. All right, the final chapter. Amos chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. Amos closes with a summary of his overall message to the nation of Israel in this chapter. So let's read from verse 1 through 15. I'll ask you to read the even with me. I'll begin verse 1. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth, he that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Are ye not as children of Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So judgment is coming, and none shall escape the omnipresent God. One of the things you'd see, hopefully you'll notice as we go through this, I've highlighted that there are at least five or six of the attributes of God squarely, clearly presented by Amos in this last chapter. And the first is the omnipresence of God. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. That must have been quite a sight. Did you see that while you were reading it? The Lord standing upon the altar. And he said, smite the lintel of the door that the post may shake. And I'll just say this, I can't imagine that scene. In verse 2, though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. This is a bit of hyperbole, but it's to make the point. There's no place you can go and hide from God. That's omnipresence. That's what that word means. God is everywhere, and there is no hiding from God. And what most people that you and I know today who are godless and Christ rejecting, what they do is they just put God out of their minds and somehow think that puts them out of God's mind. As insane as that is. But that's what they do. Johnny?
Is that phrase you hear, oh, if I can't see it, it can't see me.
Yeah. And that's an insane idea when it comes to God. It might work for human beings, but it... how many of you, like me growing up, I was amazed at how I would think that I was all by myself and no one could see me, and somehow my mom or my dad knew what I was doing. And they would apply the Board of Education to my rear end in order to educate me on their presence. They're not omnipresent, but sure seemed to come close when I was a kid. So, this truth of God being omnipresent is a blessing to God's child, unless God's child is acting like the devil's child, and is a curse to the child of the devil. That really is how clear, how different this is. Those of us who are saved, the idea that God is everywhere, is omnipresent, should be a comfort to you, unless you're a hypocrite and you're a two-faced and a backstabber, and when you go out that door, you live like the devil or live like one of the devil's kids. Well, then it's not a comfort to you. But if you're God's child and you are trying to please Him, you're trying to live for Him, then His omnipresence is a blessing. I want to read this over in Psalm 139, beginning just verses 7 and 8. And there's more to it than this, but these two verses really stand up and match what we read here in Amos chapter 9, especially verse 2. Verse 7 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Read verse 8. "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." It says similar to what we read in Amos. And that's just an extreme. But people say, you know, if you go to hell, the worst thing I believe this, there's a sense this is true. The worst thing about being lost when you die is the separation from God. But people get a false idea about that. When you're in hell, this may sound crazy or even sick to us on a human level, especially because we don't really fully understand God's holiness. We don't understand God at all compared to what we should or hopefully will when we're in His presence. But you know, God will observe the suffering in hell. Hell's not a place where God's absent. Right now, everyone in hell is suffering, and it's not just separation from God. The Bible says it's like a furnace of fire, that there is torment. And God is observing that. He's not getting you'll hear people say, God gets some sick pleasure out of that. He doesn't get pleasure. It's justice. It's justice. And so that's why it says that about you, even if you go to hell, you can't get away from God there. Verses 3 and 4, "And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel," just think of the highest mountain you know of. I climbed, the last time I'll probably ever climb a mountain, I climbed Mount Mitchell with Jenny at my side and my brother and his family. I think Susan was there too. I remember my sister was there. I can't remember who all was there now. And Mom and Dad were there. And Mount Mitchell, I believe, is the tallest peak east of the Mississippi in North Carolina. And so when you think of Carmel, that's what you think of, those of you who are on the east of the Mississippi. I guess if you're west of the Mississippi, it's probably the Rockies. But the highest mountain, wherever you are, you could go up there, be all by yourself. And guess what? God's there. By the way, you do not want to get on God's bad side. Verse 4 says, "And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good." Why? Because God hates sin, and if you rebel and you choose to be on His bad side, you know what you're getting into. That's all there is to it. So then the second attribute that I note is judgment is coming from the omnipotent God. Now, what's it mean to be omnipotent? Now, that word omni means all, and potent is talking about power. So you're both right. All-powerful is basically what omnipotent. Now, these are words that sometimes people say, I don't know those big words. But you know what? When it comes to big words like this that help me understand God, I like to learn them. And you know, I know people who can sing songs like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious and then say they don't want to learn that word because it's too big. So it's kind of hypocritical there, as I use that word twice in one sermon.
Some of my Chinese students have learned words as hard as this. And, you know, it's not even their own language. They're learning words like this.
Yeah.
You can easily learn on this.
Oh, there's all kinds. I think I've told this before, but I met a developer one time who knows like several different codes, which are computer languages, and he tries to tell me that the King James Bible is too hard to understand. Or then you have somebody, I've told this before, they say that the King James Bible is too hard to understand, but then they start to tell you about the Greek. So verses 5 and 6, and the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt. Remember, Peter says, in the day of the Lord comes, the elements will melt with fervent heat. God's going to reach out and go, bink, and it's all going to melt down. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as...